Patricia Lois, David, Mary, and Cindy, family and friends, members of Calvary Lutheran Church, the Word of God to which I direct your hearts and minds this morning is taken from the 119th Psalm, verses 103 and 104. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who makes us God's children through faith in what he himself has done. Sweet. It's a funny word, one that's used in different ways and applied to many different things. We may use it to describe something inedible that we are fond of. Did you see my new car? It's so sweet. We may use it of someone who's kind and considerate. Did you see the flowers that he gave me for our anniversary? He is so sweet. We may also use it to describe things that are sweet to our taste buds. Did you try the Streuselkuchen? It is so sweet. For those of you who personally knew Milton Johns, you will agree that he was a sweet man, a very kind man. He was also known here at Calvary for passing out sweet things on Sunday. Milton would offer mints to anyone who asked for one. He also gave Tootsie Pop suckers to the Sunday school kids every week. He didn't do it to be noticed. It was just who he was. A sweet man, fond of sweets. He would probably be embarrassed if he knew that I was talking about those things now. For as kind and considerate as he was, he did not believe that he was acceptable to God because he attended church, much less because he handed out mints and Tootsie Pops. We tend to judge people, or at least grade them, based on the things that we see from them, don't we? In an emotional time like this, of course, we talk about what a sweet man Milton was, based upon what we saw and what we heard from him. But when God looked upon Milton Johns, and when he looks upon us, he does not see sweetness and light. For we are all, without exception, born of sinful parents and have inherited a fallen nature. We prove ourselves to be sinful by the things that we think, do, and say. Milton was no exception. Neither am I, neither are you. When we see one another, we see only the facade, the external. When God looks at us, he sees everything. He knows what we think before we think it. He knows the sins we've committed in the dark and in secret. He knows what we say, even those things we say only to ourselves. But Milton Johns didn't only come to this building to hand out candy. He came here because he knew that he was a sinner. He knew that his sins had earned for him eternal death. He came here to confess his sins and to seek sweet comfort from God's word. He came here to be told, Jesus died to pay for your sins, Milton. You are forgiven. It's far from sweet, on the other hand, to be told you're a sinner who has earned eternal death. Praise God that his law isn't the only message found in his word. We also find there the promise of God's forgiveness in Christ, the promised Savior, Jesus. After all, it was the promise of God's forgiveness that moved the psalmist to write these words. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now, perhaps some of you are grumbling to yourselves. What good did it do for Milton to hear the words of God? He still developed cancer. He still grew weak. He still died. What good did it do him? Well, let me tell you. When Satan whispered to Milton, "You are a sinner. You deserve death in hell," Milton could say, "That's true. I do. But God made me his child and heir of life everlasting at baptism. He washed away my sins, all of them. And he could do this because Jesus, my Savior, took them to Calvary and died for them. When his conscience reminded him of hurtful words spoken to his wife, Pat, to the loved ones in his family, and of evil thoughts, Jesus comforted him in the sacrament of the altar, which he received here at the altar and at the kitchen table in the apartment with his wife and son David. He heard the words of Jesus, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Go, my child, sins forgiven, at peace and pure." And when the world whispered, "You aren't any better than anyone else, Milton," Milton could say, "I don't claim to be, but Jesus died for me and rose again the third day, and by faith in him, I am a child of God." I think you'd also agree that life was not always sweetness and light for Milton Johns. He often felt weak and sick these last few years. Pat was there to help and comfort him. And Jesus was there too, standing beside his bed, counting down the days until he would see him face to face. The little mints will always remind me of Milton Johns. I'm guessing the Tootsie Pops will also remind the kids in the Sunday school of him for years to come. Sweets or not, they will learn to know Jesus like Milton knew him. And one day, God willing, they'll come to see Jesus like Milton now sees him. In the meantime, we'll focus on Jesus' promises. They are especially sweet because they aren't only good for this present sour life. They're also good for the future. Jesus promises, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Jesus promises, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." So if you don't find the word of God to be particularly sweet, perhaps you've not had enough of it or haven't really tasted it. It won't make you a good person, but God's word will introduce you to Jesus, who is perfect and pure, the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to heaven. And that's why we find his word to be so sweet, sweeter even than mints and suckers. Amen. We'll continue with the next hymn.